Chapter 5. Tyrae arrived at Bluford Monday morning to find Jamie and Anne Boleyn waiting for him at his locker. The scowl on Jamie's face cut through the crowded hallway like a spotlight. "Girl, that better not be for me," he thought as he approached them. "Your mug is the last one I want to see right now." "Why you lying to her?" Jamie asked, her eyes darting to the scab on his jaw and then to the writing on his cast. "Huh? You know you're just using her," Jamie grumbled. "I told you she's my friend, and I don't want to see you hurt her again." "Seriously, Jamie, you need to step back, because I can't take this. Listen to me," Anne Boleyn cut in. "Lark is fragile, okay? There's a lot that's going on in her family, and we don't want to see you making it worse." Tyrae's head was spinning. The news of his brother had haunted him all weekend. He wasn't ready for something to threaten Lark. "What you mean? Is she okay?" "What we mean is you shouldn't be making promises you can't keep," Jamie snapped, glaring at his cast. Anne Boleyn stepped in before Tyrae could respond. "What Jamie means is Lark likes you, Tyrae. She really does." "Yeah, which is why you should just walk away now, because we know you don't care nothing about her," Jamie hissed.
Tyrae felt an urge to shove a book in Jamie's mouth so she couldn't talk. He was about to curse her out when another voice cut him off.
"What's everybody doing here?"
Tyrae turned to see Lark. He took a deep breath and swallowed his words.
"We were just talking, that's all,"
Jamie said, her voice a bit high and unnatural.
"Yeah, we got a quiz in Mr. Mitchell's class, and Jamie thinks I'm gonna fail it, but I'm gonna prove it wrong,"
Tyrae said, trying his best to sound serious. Lark flashed him a smile. He saw the tiny scar over her lip. He felt bad lying to her again. Overhead, the bell rang and the girls moved down the hallway together.
"See you at lunch,"
Lark said with a weak smile. The day had barely started and already Tyrae had a headache. But as he rubbed his forehead, Lark's words blazed on his forearm. At lunchtime, Tyrae noticed Lark's friends watching him as he grabbed a seat at an empty table in the far corner of the cafeteria. He was still angry at Jamie for what she had said to him, and yet he almost respected her too. She was just looking out for Lark. He wished he had friends ready to fight for him, but he was alone, even in his own family. So was Warren, he figured. Londell's words had gnawed at him all weekend. He forced down a few bites of the cafeteria's leathery cheeseburger when Lark arrived at his table. There was that smile again, the tiny scar, the enormous book bag sprinkled with cat fur.
"Can I sit with you?"
she asked. He could see her looking at his cheek, but she didn't mention it.
"Nah," he said bitterly, pointing to the empty table. "All my friends will get jealous if you do that."
"Yeah, well, they're just gonna have to deal with it,"
she said with a grin as she dropped her book bag. It hit the ground with a heavy thud.
"What you carrying in there, bricks?"
Tyrae asked.
"Books," she said, looking a bit embarrassed. "I just got a new one from the library."
Tyrae rolled his eyes as she fished out a thick, hardbound book with a black and red cover. He read the title, Moonlight.
"What's it about?"
"Vampires,"
she admitted sheepishly.
"Vampires?"
"Yeah, I just love these books. There are like 8 of them. I can't put them down. They even have a movie coming out next month."
"For real?"
He flipped through the pages.
"Why you like them so much?"
He had never felt that way about any book.
"You sound just like my little brother, Kyle,"
she said with an odd look on her face.
"Well, for one, when I'm reading, I get away. You ever want to just get away?"
"Every day,"
Tyrae muttered, remembering what Anne Boleyn said about Lark's home.
"Plus they're fun. You remind me of someone in here," she said, putting the book back in the bag.
"Oh man, I'm not even going to try to guess what that means."
"I'm not telling," she said, almost blushing. "You're just going to have to read it if you want to find out."
"I don't know about that," Tyrae admitted. "That's like 500 pages.
"That's fine. It's my secret then," she said, flashing that smile again.
Tyrae studied her face. Now that he knew her,
She seemed so different than the shy girl others talked about and laughed at. Yes, she was quiet at first, but once he got to know her, she was also funny and smart. And yet she seemed to be hiding something, too. "So what do you need to get away from?" Tyree asked. In an instant, her face clouded over.
"You don't want to go there," she said, gently touching the scar on her lip. "Anyway, you should read the book. I'm serious. You might like it."
Lark was silent for a few seconds. Tyree noticed that she avoided looking at him. In the distance, over her shoulder, he could see Jamie and Amberlynn watching them.
"What about you?"
she asked finally, breaking the silence.
"What are you trying to escape?"
"Please," he said. "You ain't even trying to hear that story. If it was a book, it'd be like 2,000 pages.
"I'm listening."
"Well, maybe start with a vacation from those two," he joked, pointing to Jamie and Amberlynn.
"They're just looking out for me. I know that's why they were at your locker this morning. By the way, your lie wasn't any good. You'd never talk to Jamie, especially not about schoolwork."
For the first time in weeks, Tyree almost smiled.
"I thought I had you fooled," he said.
"Nah, you're gonna have to try a little harder next time," Lark replied with a weak smile. Tyree glanced at her and the loyal friends she had just a few feet away. He knew they didn't like him sitting with her, that they wanted to keep her safe. And maybe they were right. Maybe he was dangerous to people like them. But not to Lark. Looking at her scar and the sadness hiding behind her eyes, he knew he wouldn't hurt her again. Instead, he wanted to honor his promise and stop what haunted her. But how? He forced down another leathery bite of his cheeseburger when an idea hit him. A way to pay her back. Tyree headed straight to Fatburger after school. The black and orange sign from the other day still hung in the window. Help wanted. He knew he had to be quick. He opened the familiar glass door and stepped inside. The air was a soupy mix of grease and fried onions. Tyree loved the smell. He headed straight to the line and waited. Up until recently, he would look down at the people behind the counter flipping burgers in their corny uniforms and visors. But that was before he was desperate for money.
"Can I help you?" grumbled a large, dark-skinned woman behind the counter.
Tyree recognized her from when he and Rodney used to go there after school. They would joke about the way she sweated whenever it was busy.
"Yo, she gonna drip in your fries," Rodney used to say.
"Yeah, girl, hold that secret sauce," Tyree would say, cracking up in the line as he spent Daryl's money.
Now he hoped she didn't remember him.
I saw your sign outside. I am looking for a job," he said.
He saw a name tag on her chest that read Selma. It was the first time he had ever noticed her name. Selma sucked her teeth and looked down at his cast. She scowled slightly before reaching under the counter and sliding a rumpled application toward him.
"Next,"
she huffed.
"Wait," Tyree said. "What do I do?"
"Fill it out."
There was an edge to her voice. He knew she remembered him.
"And then give it to you?"
"Mm-hmm. But you ain't gonna get hired, not with that cast on your arm. You can't cook with that," she said, straightening her visor. "Next."
Tyree took the application and sat down in a nearby booth. What was the point? He figured. He knew Selma was going to throw his application away as soon as he finished it. He was about to crumple the paper himself when he heard a deep, rattling cough. The sound made him freeze. He knew exactly who it was. Bones. The wiry man crept to the front of the line and ordered. Tyree hadn't seen him since he had sold him the gun. He folded the application and shoved it in his back pocket. He wanted to run out.
"Yo, little man,"
said the voice, as rough as crushed concrete. Tyree shuddered. Bones grabbed a greasy bag from Selma and came toward him. His skin stretched like worn paper over his skull.
"What you doing here, little brother? What happened to your face?"
"Nothing," Tyree answered. Just seeing Bones made his insides tremble. "I gotta go. I'm late already."
"Late for what?"
Bones asked. He reached a long finger in the bag and pulled out some French fries.
Come on, let's go outside.
Tyree got up and headed out with Bones following him.
I really gotta go. I'm grounded. My pops wants me home right away.
Bones swallowed heavily and dug out more French fries.
You didn't do it, did you?
He asked, examining Tyree with cold, unblinking eyes as they slowly walked up the block. Tyree knew exactly what he was talking about, whether he had used the gun. Bones had warned him about the gun the day he had sold it to him.
Boy, you got a choice to make. This ain't on my hands, he had said. If you take that dude out, his face is going to be with you until the day you die. Be the last face you see at night before you go to sleep. Be the last face you see before you die.
Tyree had ignored him at first, but later, when he stared at Daryl in the alley, he started to understand.
No,
Tyree admitted, suddenly feeling embarrassed.
You get scared?
Bones asked with a cold smile, ketchup dripping from his fingers.
Nah, I wasn't scared. It ain't like that,
Tyree blurted, his voice louder than he had meant it to be.
I just couldn't do it,
he admitted.
Cause you was scared,
Bones repeated with a raspy chuckle.
No, I wasn't.
So what was it then?
Man, what's your problem? Tyree yelled. When I saw him lying there crying, I couldn't, okay? And then I...
He paused and remembered the final instant he had turned the gun on himself instead.
Look, I don't want to talk about it. I'm late. I ain't got time for this.
Boy, look at my face. I'm dying.
Don't talk to me about time,
he barked, and he began coughing, a fit that ended with him spitting something rust-colored onto the curb. Tyree cringed. He didn't want to be near the sickly man with his wheeze and piercing eyes, and yet he couldn't just walk away.
Years ago, I'd have busted on you for being a coward. Today, I'd say you was just being smart,
Bones said, squinting at Tyree as if he were trying to read something he couldn't quite see.
I'm kind of surprised, though. You had that look in your eye. I thought you was going to go through with it.
He paused, taking a heavy breath.
That's all right. I don't need no more blood on my hands.
He tossed a fry aside as if it disgusted him.
Not with where I'm going.
Tyree squirmed.
Man, I'm sorry, he said, but I really need to go. My dad already grounded me, and I was supposed to be home 20 minutes ago.
A car passed by, and Bones crumpled up the bag of French fries.
That's right. Old Gil Hobbs will get mad if you're late, right? That man's got issues, but I can't blame him after what he's been through,
he said knowingly. Tyree wasn't sure what he meant. Then Bones' face suddenly grew serious.
You seen your brother since he got locked up?
He asked. Tyree froze. Bones' cheeks were slightly sunken, and his hands were gnarled with veins, but his eyes smoldered with invisible fire. Warren had mentioned him a few times long ago, but Tyree hadn't expected this skinny man to bring up Warren. Did he know something about what Londell said?
Nah, why?
Bones stared at him for a few seconds.
You see him, let him know I was asking about him, you hear me? Tell him I'm sorry.
Something about Bones's voice was strange, the way his last words hung in the air.
He ain't in trouble, is he?
Tyree asked, unable to hide his thoughts.
Londell James said...
Londell James? What you talking to him for?
Bones's face tightened into a sneer. For an instant, Tyree saw his teeth, yellowed and crooked. They almost looked like fangs. Tyree explained how he had been jumped and how Jupiter stole Warren's iPod. He also mentioned how Londell threatened him.
I don't know how he got out of jail so quick,
Tyree grumbled.
Everyone knows what he did.
Bones scowled and shook his head as if Tyree had said something silly.
Cause ain't nobody want to snitch on him. Everybody's too scared, so the police can't do nothing. You got any sense in your head, you'll stay away from him too,
Bones said.
Dude robbed me twice, Tyree grumbled, and he knows something about Warren.
So what you gonna do about it?
Tyree hated that he had no good answer. He shrugged in frustration.
Nothing, I guess.
That's right. You stay away from the James brothers, you hear me? You got something none of us got. You better keep it, Bones said.
Man, what are you saying?
Bones shook his head.
Visit your brother and ask him. He'll tell you. Don't forget to tell him what I said, he huffed, walking down the street toward the corner.
Man, I can't just go see him. My dad won't let me. Besides, I hear you gotta have an adult with you and some paperwork or something like that.
Bones stopped and turned back to him. Tyree thought he heard him cursing under his breath. From a distance, his face looked almost like a skull. And yet the skinny man was scratching his chin thoughtfully, as if he was planning something.
You want to go, you meet me next Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, right out here at the bus station. I'll get you there.
For real?
Tyree asked. Bones slipped around the corner without a word, disappearing like a shadow.